together. If you have a copy of God's Word, please turn with me to the Old Testament book of Numbers. The Old Testament book of Numbers. Numbers chapter number 10. Numbers chapter number 10. And Numbers 10, hope you have something to write on and write with and on. And just not on the coffee table, right? Piece of paper would be the place to do it. And I'd like to give you, I'm going to give you five statements later on in the message, five statements that I hope will be something that you can just think about, meditate on, and review in the days and weeks that lie ahead. Numbers chapter number 10, and let's see here. We're going to begin reading in verse number 30. Numbers 10, verse number 30. Bible says, "And he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. And he said, Leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. And it shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be, that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. And they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out of the camp. And it came to pass, when the ark set forward." Notice those words, "set forward." "That Moses said, Rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. And when it rested, the ark of the Lord, and it rested, he said, Moses said, Return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel." God's word says in verse 35, when the ark set forward. I'd like to speak to you on this thought this afternoon. Set forward and claim the victory. Set forward and claim the victory. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you how we can continue to gain help and strength from it. Thank you, Lord, again, as was just reiterated, that you've given us a song in our heart, a new song, even praise unto our God. And Lord, we are grateful for those hymns that we were able to sing. We pray that you receive the honor and glory for it as well. Bless now this, might say simple, but Lord, it's something that's really helped me once again to consider today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I don't know if you were still standing or not. But if you were, you may be seated, and thank you for standing. The Bible speaks about, in Numbers chapter number 10, in several verses, I'm not going to take the time to read them, but like, for instance, in verse number 21, the Kohathites set forward, the Kohathites set forward, and there's other places, verse 17, Gershon and the sons of Merari set forward. And it has the idea of that. It has the idea of moving forward. Let's just talk about a couple of things before we get into it. And I'm kind of using this particular theme and what's happening here, and then you'll see how we tie it all together, God willing. We need the Holy Spirit to do that. What is the Ark of the Covenant? Notice verse number 33. The Bible says, "And the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord went before them." The Ark of the Covenant was the very, represented the very presence of God in children of Israel. They are in this wandering moment, wandering time, and the Ark of the Covenant was used to direct their paths, as we see here. It was also used, and Israel acknowledged the presence of God, and we praise the Lord that we have God's Spirit indwelling us as believers. Now we are in the church age, and so we have God's Spirit. We don't have the Ark of the Covenant anymore. We don't need the Ark of the Covenant because we have the Holy Spirit of God, and we also have the Word of God. And so But we see here that as the Ark of the Covenant set forward or moved forward, remember the Ark of the Covenant is the very presence of God. So as the Ark of the Covenant would move forward, so were the people. So were the people. They were to move forward. And so eventually what they're coming to is the Promised Land, right? And we know, as we've repeating it once again, that Jericho is a picture of the victorious Christian life. And so they are moving forward. Eventually, they will be claiming the victory. Moving forward and claiming the victory. But I want you to notice something before we jump into this, that all of the movements of the people were sanctified by prayer. Do you see that in verse number 35? So when the ark set forward, Moses said, "Rise up, O Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered." What's he saying? They were going to come across some enemies on their way to the Promised Land. They were going to come across their way some enemies even going through the Promised Land, as the Jericho and Ai and on it would go. And so while they might have been in peace at this time, when we are striving to move forward and when we are striving to advance and set forward, there is an enemy that wants to prevent us from growing in grace. We have an enemy. It is the devil. He is the devil. We'll talk about that in a little while, okay? So notice when they are moving forward, there is a time of prayer. There is a sanctification by prayer. But notice when they are stopping, same thing. Verse 36, "And when it rested, he said, 'Return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel.'" So whether they were in a holding pattern or whether they were ever moving or whether they were moving forward, we see that it was movements were sanctified by prayer and their resting time was sanctified by prayer. Five statements I want to give you this afternoon about setting forward and claiming the victory as we consider this. Be ready to turn to passages of Scripture. Number one, the Lord is advancing. The Lord is advancing. We find this in Numbers chapter 10. This is our text verses and our text statement to begin this thought about setting forward and claiming the victory. This afternoon, you and I are moving through enemy territory. The songwriter said it this way: "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." Young men, young ladies, teenagers, as we learned about this morning about the hymn history, adult men, adult ladies, married, single, senior saints of God, let's be reminded of something tonight. This is a warning, but it's also a praise in the same time, that we are advancing with God, but we are advancing through enemy territory. And as we advance through enemy territory, we, like Moses, need to say to our God, "O Lord God, rise up and let thine enemies be scattered." We need God's power as we advance with the Lord. And we're following him. We're not following man. We're following the Lord. We're following his guidance through the Holy Spirit of God. Go with me to Ephesians. I want to show you two verses. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. And verse number 2, where God's word says, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world." This is when we, before we got saved. Verse 1 talks about being saved. "You hath he quickened, made alive." Praise God for that, being born again. The Spirit of God, we are saved, we're alive. But we were, before we were saved, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And it goes on to talk about how our lives were by the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires thereof. But the point I'm wanting us to see is that this world has a course for its inhabitants to follow. You and I, as Christians, we are no longer to follow the course of this world. We are no longer to be led by the flesh. We are no longer to be led by the enemy. But he's still there. He's still alive and well. He knows the end result of his existence, but he is not going down without a fight. But I want to encourage you. The Lord is advancing, and we advance with the Lord. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, please, quickly. Ephesians chapter 6, and this is something that Brother Currington mentioned on Friday evening in as we listened to point number one of the 10 lessons that he teaches through. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. What do we wrestle against? Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of, what's the next two words? This world. Okay, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Just emphasizing that, praise the Lord, this is not our final home. This is not our final dwelling place. We have an enemy. Our enemy is real. But we are greater. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so as the Lord is advancing, he is our ark. He is the ark of our covenant. We're following the leading of the Lord. And so, number one, the Lord is advancing. We're talking about claiming the victory, setting forward and claiming the victory. Number two, let's go to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. The Lord, number two, is almighty. The Lord is almighty. These, I'm giving you five words. They all start with A, and I pray that you'll jot them down, even if you just jot down the five words. Carry them with you on a 3x5 card, and look at them in your car, not while you're driving, but look at them while you're on the SkyTrain or the bus, or look at them tomorrow, and these will encourage you. These will inspire you, not from me. This is from the Bible. Put a little verse down beside it. Go look it up and read it. May it encourage you. The Lord is almighty. Psalm 91:1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The Almighty. Back to Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1. The Lord is almighty. What does it mean to be almighty? It means to be omnipotent. Omnipotent. What does it mean to be omnipotent? It means to be all-powerful. All-powerful. We're following the Lord who is advancing. And know this, as you're following the Lord who is advancing, you are following the Almighty One. There is no one that is almighty except the Lord Jesus. There is no one who is omnipotent like the Lord Jesus. Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 8, Jesus himself said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty, Almighty. The one who is leading the way, the one who is our shepherd, is almighty. Again, you do not need to fear what is happening in this world. We need to learn from it. We need to advance in it. And how can we advance in it toward victory? We're following the Almighty One. It's time for Anchor Baptist Church to set forward. It's time for you, dear Christian man, to set forward. It's time for me as a pastor to set forward, advancing and knowing that the one who is leading the way is almighty. I am not almighty. You are not almighty. But God is, and he is advancing, and he is the Almighty One. He is the all-powerful one. Another way to say another thing about almighty means ruler of all. Ruler of all. Oh, my friends, it's so encouraging to know that my Heavenly Father rules it all. My Father not only rules it all, but the song said what? Our Father planned it all. Amen. He's in control. This is no surprise to the Almighty One. This is no surprise to the advancing one, and that is our Lord. Remember, as the ark moved forward, so did the people. And God is advancing. And we can follow him. Why? Because he's almighty. He's advancing, number one. He's almighty, number two. Number three, the Lord is able. The Lord is able. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. These are good verses to have written down. Oh, this week, I pray that God would give us victory this week in our life. By the way, it's not, I guess it's not pray that God would give us victory, it's pray that we would claim it. Huh? God's already given us the victory. He's made us more than conquerors. And so it's up to you, it's up to me to claim that victory and claim the fact that he is able. Again, a familiar verse of Scripture, as 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know, Paul said, whom I have believed. I know who I am persuaded. I know, Paul said, that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He is able. The Lord is advancing. The Lord is moving forward. This is not our final kingdom. This is not our course. We are here temporarily to fulfill the will of God for our life. And the good news is this. Our leader is almighty. Our leader is able. There isn't anything too hard for God to do. So we are not advancing blindly in this world. We are not setting forward hoping that we'll be victorious. We're setting forward knowing that the victory that God has for us is available each and every day. And by the way, you do not know what a day holds. You do not know what phone call is going to come this week. Hey, you don't know what email you're going to get this week. You don't know what test result's going to come in this week. I'm not trying to bring fear. Don't live in fear. Live in faith, knowing that God is able. That's what we're talking about. Set forward through the difficult time. You might be in a difficult time right now. Set forward, following the one who is almighty, following the one who is advancing, and following the one who is able. There is no one that is able like our God. And by the way, this is for the Christian. We as believers, he is our guide. He is our leader. He is our shepherd. Folks, if you're not saved, he's your judge. Big difference. You are under condemnation already. Let's look at that. Look at John 3. I think we read this today in our Bible reading. It was either today or yesterday. John 3, would you go there quickly? Many of you know this verse from memory. Be a good one to memorize. Look at John 3:18. John 3:18. He that believeth on him, the context is believing on Jesus Christ, is not what? Condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It doesn't matter what you are trying to do tonight, this afternoon, or whatever day it is when you're watching this. It doesn't matter what you're trying to do to have peace with God. If it's not the way God has provided it, you are condemned already. And he is not your advocate. We'll come to that one later. He is not advancing for you and leading you. At this point, he is your judge. You are under condemnation. But here's the good news. Hey, here's the good news. He loves you. He loves you, sinner. He loves me, sinner. He died for my sins. He died for your sins. Oh, tonight, trust Christ as Savior. We've been praying for someone in Sudbury, Ontario, since last August, I think it was. And just found out this week that this gentleman got his salvation settled, and he knows he's on his way to heaven. And there was rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. And we rejoiced when we found that out. I rejoiced when I saw that note. And we rejoiced here this morning about that. And we've been praying for this gentleman to get saved. I want to encourage you, if you're lost and without Christ, it's not about keeping the Sabbath that takes you to heaven. It's not about praying so much or giving so much money. There's nothing you can do to appease God except come to him through Jesus Christ, his Son. The Lord is advancing. The Lord is almighty. Ephesians chapter 3. The Lord is able. Ephesians 3:20, again, another great verse to memorize. I hope you're jotting some of these references down. If you're like me, the older you get, sometimes you forget the address of these verses. You need to write them down, and I need to write them down. And just, again, remember, I need to, why? Remember, you, we are, when we listen, when I listen, and I'm not saying this because I'm speaking right now, but when I listen to a message or a podcast or preaching, or when I'm reading the Bible, all of the above, not in a particular order, I'm not just getting food for me, although that's the primary reason, but I'm taking it in so that I can give it out, teach others also. So I want to encourage you, Anchor Baptist Church especially, this is the year of discipleship. This is the year of strong in faith. We need strong disciples. We need men and women of great faith in an almighty God, in an advancing God, in a God who is able. And that's what Paul said to the church at Ephesus, chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able. Do you believe God is still able? Paul said, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh where? In us. The able one is working in you. The able one is working in me. Why is he doing it? So that, verse 21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Jesus is working in me. God is working in me. The able one is working in me so that I can bring glory to God. What a privilege it is to spend your life to get glory for God. We learn this, to glory to God means making God look good. Dear Christian, is your life making God look good? If people know you're a Christian and the way you're living, God's not concerned about you making him look good, but I'm talking about part of our influence is our actions and how we live our life. Oh, my friend, it's time to set forward and claim the victory. The Lord is advancing. The Lord is almighty. The Lord is able. Number four, I just gave it to you a minute ago. The Lord is our advocate. Oh, I'm so thankful for this advocate. Go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. What's Jesus doing right now, Pastor Turner? I'm going to show you what the Bible says. 1 John chapter 2. What is he doing? 1 John chapter 2. And verse number 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. There it is. With the Father. Who is our advocate? Here it is. Jesus Christ, the righteous. An advocate is we've termed this a defense lawyer. A defense lawyer. And the Bible says that he is the righteous. The righteous. What does this mean? It means that Jesus is fully qualified to serve as our advocate because he himself was sinlessly perfect. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. You might say that Jesus Christ has passed heaven's bar exam and is qualified to represent clients in heaven's court of law. He is our advocate. I'd like to read this little thing that I found with regards to this particular thought of being our advocate. It is as if we stand as the accused in the heavenly court before our righteous judge, God the Father. Our advocate stands up to answer the charges. Quote, he is completely guilty, Your Honor. In fact, he has even done worse than what he is accused of. And now makes full and complete confession before you. The gavel slams, and the judge asks, what should his sentence be? Our advocate answers, his sentence shall be death. He deserves the full wrath of this righteous court. All along, our accuser, Satan, is having great fun at all this, for he is at this trial as well. We are guilty. We admit our guilt. We see our punishment, but then our advocate asks to approach the bench. As he comes closer to the judge, he simply says, Dad, this one belongs to me. I paid his price. I took the wrath and punishment from this court that he deserves. The gavel again sounds and the judge cries out, guilty as charged, penalty satisfied. Our accuser, Revelation 12:10, the Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren, starts going crazy. The penalty has been completely paid by my probation. No, the judge shouts. The penalty has been completely paid by my son. There is nothing to put him on probation for. Then the judge turns to our advocate and says, son, you said this one belongs to you. I release him into your care. Case closed. You know what that is? I don't know that it happened like that, But that's man's way of describing what the Bible says, that Jesus Christ is our advocate. He is our lawyer. And by the way, the very minute, the very second that your heart with repentance and faith came to the Lord Jesus, came to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, the very moment that that took place in your life, somehow, somewhere, in some way, the case was closed. In some way, paid in full. You deserved hell. I deserved hell. But because of the Lord Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, we have access to God through Him. And right now, because we are saved, He is continuing to intercede on our behalf. He's continuing to be that advocate. It didn't just end when we got saved. It is an ongoing representation. Because unfortunately, like it said in 1 John 2, if any man sin. We believe that 1 John was written to the believer. And so, John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive. This isn't a getting saved all over again. This is coming back to God after salvation, coming back to God, restoring fellowship with Him. The Bible says we have an advocate through Jesus Christ. I like this thought. Through Jesus Christ, God can be for us even though we are sinners. If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans chapter 8. The Lord is advancing. Let's set forward with the advancing one. The Lord is almighty. He's ruler of all. The Lord is able. The Lord is our advocate. And kind of goes along with number 4, but I think it deserves its own. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Could have probably made this one number 4, but that's okay. I think they all are applicable, and I hope they're helping you and will help you even this week. Romans chapter 8, verse number 14, the Bible says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Number 5, the Lord has adopted us. The Lord has adopted us. We are the Master's children. Think of that. We share in great treasures as joint heirs of Christ. Maybe you know this already, but in the Roman culture, an adopted person lost all rights in his old family. That's a good thing when you're comparing it right now to what we're talking about. Amen? But he gained all rights of a legitimate child in the new family. It was just as if that adopted son or daughter was born physically into that family. And when we come to Christ, praise the Lord, verse number 15, we are adopted. It is as if we have always been, if you will, a child of God. Now, we know we always haven't been, but as a child of God, we have that privilege. We gain all the privileges and responsibilities of being adopted. We have a new name. We sang about it. What is wonderful to be a Christian. We bear that name. As we're going through the course of this world, we have the name, follower of Christ. We need to hold that name high. We need to honor that name. We need to share that name. We need to treasure that name. It is the name that is above every name. It is the name that every knee will bow to. I'm so thankful that many years ago I bowed my knee to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. Unworthy of all of it. Truly grateful. And I'm thankful that today He is not my judge, He's my Father. I've been adopted. Oh, my birth certificate says Benjamin Nathan Turner. But remember, I'm not of this world. I am a sojourner. This is a tent. I'll be in this tent for I don't know how many years. Hopefully not more than 70 or 80. But who knows, right? Point is this, is temporary. I know that I have a better home waiting for me. It's not about me. I don't deserve that home. You don't deserve that home. By God's grace, we can be adopted. I said that as a child of God, we gain all the privileges and responsibilities. Privileges. I just want to kind of end with this thought. You know, one of the major privileges of being adopted is we have someone to lead us. We've been talking about that. Set forward. Remember, I said we don't have the Ark of the Covenant anymore. Let's go one more passage, please. Galatians 4. Galatians 4. Verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive, there it is again, the adoption of sons. Notice this. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the what? Spirit of his Son. Where? Into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You see, the blessing of being adopted is that as we advance in this world that is anti-God and anti-Bible, as we advance in this world that the system of this world, okay, I'm not talking about people necessarily, and there are people that are anti-God and anti-Bible, but that's just because they're being used in the devil. And I would hope we love anyone, that we want them to be saved, we want them to come to the Lord. I hope we're praying for the people that we think are most anti-God in the world. I hope you're praying for them. I hope I'm praying for them. I may not know their names. The point is this, as a child of God, though, as someone who's been adopted, one of the privileges of that is that while we are advancing, we have the Holy Spirit of God in our heart. Jesus is our advocate, but we're adopted, so we have the Holy Spirit of God as our earnest, as our down payment because of that adoption. He is, I like it this way, the Holy Spirit of God is the paperwork. You know the adoption paperwork? That's it right here. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 6, that's my paperwork, that I've been adopted. And as I go through valleys, Holy Spirit is there. As I climb mountains, set forward, the Holy Spirit is there. As we sail on seas that are topsy-turvy and the winds and waves, he's there. We're advancing. We're advancing with the Lord who is advancing, the Lord who is almighty, omnipotent, great ruler, the Lord who is able, the Lord who is able, the Lord who is our advocate, he's our defense lawyer, and the Lord who has adopted. So this week, when it's time to set forward, go to the Lord in prayer, as Moses did in Numbers chapter 10. Say, God, protect me from the enemies that are in my path. I'm following your lead. I'm advancing with you. You come to the end of the day, God, thank you for guiding me today. Some things were challenging. Thank you for guiding me. Protect me as I rest tonight. I'll see you in the morning. You know, the walk with God should be personal. We're not supposed to be so ritualistic. I believe we can talk to God, not disrespectfully. I believe we can talk to God just like I would talk to you. I believe driving down the road, you can just start talking to God. Okay. People drive by and wonder who you're talking to. It's okay. Same thing I do when I drive by it. Nah, I'm not going there. But just talk to God before you start the day. And you advance. Talk to Him. When the day ends, you can do it during the day too, but so, church, set forward this week.